episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Okay, it's, yeah, Rick and Rollo Nostalgia Hour. It's Saturday, the 20th of December, 2025. And it's the Nostalgia Hour. I'm here with Dave J. G'day, Dave.
G'day, g'day.
Ah, nice to talk to you, my friend. We're normally here, it's normally Rick and Rollo, but Rick... I don't know. I can't contact him. So, it's just me and you for the moment. And, it's been an interesting week, hasn't it? What should we talk about first? Should we talk about, how was your week, by the way, my friend?
Oh, my week was wonderful. Wonder-filled.
Yeah.
You know, enjoying the week, this is winter, so-called. In Arizona at the moment. However, just during the day, it's been short sleeves and just relaxing in the afternoon sun. It gets a little bit chilly in the evening, but otherwise I'm enjoying the end of the year.
Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, my friend. And
Bah humbug.
Bah humbug. I love that. Humbug. I love it. Oh, yeah. You're such a legend.
It's so miserable walking around. If you have to go out into the town and jingle bells.
It's like, jingle all the way.
It's like, dude, would you all stop it? It's been for the last month already. Mm. And here's the thing though, Rollo. And if you don't mind if I go on this little sideways before we get there. So you have this time of giving. And to me, it's a time of acting. It's because people are pretending to act nice for a certain season instead of being that their entire existence.
Right.
So it's like, okay, so I'm going to pretend to be a character. Or here's what's even worse is the one who goes to these homeless shelters and gives the so-called homeless and hungry one night of a the ham and the turkey and the potatoes and whatnot. So they, what about the 364 other days? What are you doing?
Well, so you've been around Hollywood all your life, haven't you?
The reason I joined the Navy when I was 17 was from the earliest age, I wanted to get out of that town. It's like, dude, I got to get out of this town. I grew up in an area, let's just say where a lot of people are in the business of one sort or the other. You just have to know that it's like an iceberg idea. So those that you see on the screen are the tip, but then what makes up the business is quite a large number of people, whether it be supporting in the financial side, the computer side, the programming side. Really the advancement of ideas. Because Hollywood itself, the idea of the Holly or the Hollywood is simply, how to then cast to the mass public, the general mass, these ideas of what's to come, what's to be, and more importantly, and here's what's more important, because this is what keeps most people, locked or a prisoner of their own mind. Really thinking about, Rick and I talked about the prisoner, but what keeps you in that prisoner of mind?
Oh, the prisoner. Now that was with Patrick McGowan.
McGowan.
Back in the day.
So what it does is it keeps you in the state of remembrance, of mourning. So that flag, the flags at half staff, or remember this story, remember that. So instead of living life at this very moment or then moving forward, you're living your so-called modern life or day, your real life in remembrance of the past in which.
Yeah, but
I'm going to tell you this.
Sorry to cut you off there, Go. Dave, but isn't there, there's not a problem with, what's it called? We call it nostalgia. The nostalgia, Rick and Rollo nostalgia, there's not a problem with having a bit of nostalgia. Remember your good old days of
Hollywood. About where you leave the it's all about the mindset you leave the participant in. If you're nostalgic, yeah, so you can have nostalgia all you want. I would love to talk to you about the streets I grew up on and what we were doing. But I'm not going to leave you in a state of mourning. I'm not going to leave you with your flag at half staff.
That's right. So you're a guy that you're always an optimist. You're always your flag is always a full mast. So
yeah,
you're right. When you lived at on those poltergeist streets, Tobe Hooper, Steven Spielberg, Poltergeist, that movie was a fantastic. That was a fantastic 1982, movie.
Baby.
Yeah, baby. And I fucking love that. I love that fucking movie, Poltergeist. And apparently, they were real skeletons. You know,
the 80s linger like smoke in the sky.
I'll never forget John Laws, Richard John Sinclair Laws. You kind of remember him because of me, right? Because
I only know him because of you. Yeah,
he was.
He's in my basement now. He won't leave. He's down there with
his golden.
He's playing pool down there.
He's playing pool down there. Golden
yeah, he's playing
tonsil.
Pool down in my basement with Rob Reiner at the moment.
Oh, Rob Reiner!
Keep it down.
What are your thoughts on Rob Reiner murder?
The beautiful part is that the only thing that got murdered is the sanity of the one who believes these stories. Nobody died. Nobody got hurt. If you look at a lot of in 2015, he wrote a film called Being Charlie. The idea of being Charlie. You have the idea of the Charlie Kirk hoax that just happened recently, the CK or the 311.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, so you have that tie-in. And then that movie deals with the experience or the idea of addiction. And now they're going to offer you this like nut bar looking kid that's supposed to have done the dirty deed, and he of course looks like he's hopped up on goofballs. So it's really just a script in rough form, because everything it's called a treatment in the business. Called a treatment. So if you take a story and then I offer you a script, this is called my treatment. I'm giving you this treatment. Now you read that treatment. Whoa. If you fall in love with that, Nelly, you're Mr. Yeah, you're the horse's ass. So you just have to remember. Yeah, you just have to remember. Yeah, just remember that everything that's being broadcast to you, Rollo, everything being broadcast to you has an intent. So, so the intent is to bring you down.
I don't want to get off the subject too much.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to talk about with Rick last week was when I spoke to John Laws, right? He had a newsreader. His name was Jim Angel, and he after he went off big time radio, we're talking about 2GB and 2UE. He went to local radio. And wanted to help his daughter out, and the story is so sad because, like, seriously, Jim Angel, like he would do bits with John Laws, and they would do back and forth and that. And the saddest part was when he went back to community radio, he wanted to help his daughter out. He died of a heart attack 2 weeks later. So he really never got to help her.
So let's go. Yeah. So
it made me cry.
So back to that Reiner, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't didn't confuse anybody. So when Rob Reiner directed the Being Charlie movie, when he directed it, because the so-called son, Nick Reiner, wrote it about the addiction idea. So when Being Charlie was directed by Rob Reiner, he directed it on December 16th. December is 1 plus 2, that's 3, and 16 is 1 plus 6 is 7. 2 is the idea of 3 sevens, or which is 777, bing, bing, bing. Brilliant. Which is what, if you're in the idea of the code, so you,
numerology like you are, but
you don't have to be at the moment. We're just speaking to a larger audience, so that if they're interested in looking into this, they can definitely look into it. So then when you see that the Nick Reiner character or is the son, and the son in any of these stories always represents the son, what do you think of the son spiritually, the son, the Christ or the Antichrist? So
are you talking about the light in the sky, or are you talking about the sun, as in had a child?
I'm talking about Nick Reiner, so he's not
well,
a light in the
I
sky.
Think that was
he's an S-O-N. Let's stick to S-O-N. So when you think of sun, the idea you're thinking about is this sun or that sun, the idea of the splits, the Cain, the Abel.
Yeah,
the 2-1 idea, the one becomes two, the split. So then in this movie Being Charlie, so if you have the Nick Reiner character who's the son, is writing a film called Being Charlie, which ties into Charlie Kirk, and then the father directs it. He would be the God character, the Rob Reiner, the so-called God character. He directs it on December 16th.
All right, hold that phone. Hold the phone. Rick and Roller.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Right, Rick and Rollo with no Rick at the moment. So it is the Saturday, the 20th of December, 2025. I'm here with Dave J, the amazing Dave J. We're talking Rob Reiner and the son. So Dave, are you still there? Nick. You my friend?
Yeah, I am.
Then Nick,
Nick, Saint Nick.
Saint
Tis
Nick.
The season.
Saint Nicholas. Saint
Tis
Nicholas.
The season. So you have a lot of these tie-ins. So you have the son, Nick Reiner, which ties into the idea of not only reindeer, but the idea of like the horns on the head. He talks about his life on the streets, being homeless, this, that, and the other thing. All right.
Ooh.
So then, and it deals with addiction and relationship with the father, in this case, Rob Reiner. So you see how it's a direct correlation. So then the Rob Reiner or the father character directs it on the December 16th, which is, of course, for those that look at numbers, that's your 3-7. So then that to me is quite interesting because it's showing you that these characters are all interlaced quite tightly. Like the OJ takes case in Brentwood. This takes place in Brentwood.
OJ Simpson.
Yeah, it took place in Brentwood. It took place in Brentwood, that hoax. And then you have this current hoax, which takes place in Brentwood. So it's really just that's like the stage. Because Rob Reiner, I mean, let's talk about, some people might not know him, but he did This is Spinal Tap, right?
Well, he did my favorite movie. His was Princess Bride,
because
a friend of mine, Bella, said, or I call him Joel O. Velocet, looks exactly like Harry Hills.
He does.
Too. Yeah, exactly. So what were you going to say about, I didn't mean to knock the thought out of your head.
Oh, no. It's he also did A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men.
You
that's
want
right.
the truth?
You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
With Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah, it would
It's like Demi Tom Cruise Moore. Made the line where he's yelling at him. He's like, oh, wait a minute. Then he has to stand on a box to seem taller. Then he's pointing at him. And Jack Nicholson.
Oh, right.
Nicholson's like, guy. Man. Yeah, he's a short guy. Yeah, yeah. Jack Nicholson's like, you want the truth? You can't handle the truth.
I fucking love that movie, man. I fucking love it. It's just a perfect movie for me. It's just a brilliant movie, you know. It's got military. It's got everything about that movie works for me, and it's perfectly structured. Who else was in that? Kevin Pollak,
In A Few Good Men, you had Nicholson, yeah. Demi Moore, you had Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon in mind, dude. We're about to play Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
You ready to play? Are you ready?
No, I can't play it. I've had a few too many drinks, but okay. It's a lot of fun though. I'll play Six Degrees with Kevin Bacon with you. I will do it. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so let's go back then to the story. Listen to this nonsense. Just sit there and let me tell you this little bit and think to yourself, does this sound real? So the night before, him and his singer, his wife's name, middle name is Singer. The idea of Singer, okay. Telling you, were discovered. The couple attended a holiday party, which goes right back to the Saint Nick idea. Hosted by none other than Conan O'Brien.
Mm.
Come on now. That's a little too cute by half. That's a little too cute by half. So instead of a holiday party, that more sounds like a final arrangements party, meaning a final read-through. Let's do this final read-through.
Oh, a read-through. You do a read-through, right? When you're on a set and we're ready to go to air.
Yeah.
And we do a read-through. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, again, I'm not an actor. I've never been a part of Hollywood or Hollyweird, as some people call it.
I'm not an actor. I just play one on YouTube.
You do a really good job, actually, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, well,
let's get real quick before I do forget this thought, because it kind of jumped in my head, if you don't mind. But
yeah, okay.
the deal with this Nick Reiner doing the movie and then the father directing it. Think of about a father directing something outside of the movie itself, meaning that he's directing or he's putting pressure on or he's making. So it's kind of giving you this idea that so then when they give you the story at the party, there's the quote that's in the newspapers is that he was, that the kid, Nick, Saint Nick, was freaking everyone out, man, acting crazy and kept asking people if they were famous. That's the line.
That's right.
So he's almost acting like a joker.
And he was asking why so them serious? For money. Why so well, serious? That's right. Remember so when serious? We lost. Yeah, when we lost the Joker fella.
Well, he goes into.
Yeah, why so serious?
So, remember? So the Nick character, yeah, the Nick character, though, his whole story about the whole movie being Charlie is about cycling in and out of rehab, which is very, to me, that's very similar to the Joker character. And it was at the Heath Ledger. Is that your favorite?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Thank you for that.
Because the last Joker, the one with the Jewish.
Oh, yeah. What was his name? Joaquin Phoenix, was it?
Joaquin Bottom is what Rick would say.
Yeah, that's right. Keep going. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So he was just in he was in the second part, which I know you saw, where isn't Arthur Fleck? Doesn't Arthur wind up in a mental hospital and winds up
He does. There was a brilliant movie where he shoots Robert De Niro in the head at the end. Yeah.
That's right. So he goes in with a He goes in with a neurological disorder. All right. Yeah. So that's a mind, that's a mindset problem. So in this Nick and Rob Reiner story, the father and son idea, he's freaking everyone out, man, acting crazy, kept asking if they were famous. So he's acting like the Joker, Arthur Fleck character.
Yeah.
He's acting exactly the same, man.
And then that's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, so then you have the father and son idea. You have the father, but he's also acting like, if you go to the script, you have the idea of a prodigal son or a lost light or a lost family member who then comes back and everything's forgiven. All amends are made, blah, blah, blah. You know, put a robe on him, put a ring on him, give him the best of the best. All's forgiven. This, however, is the anti-story. This is the anti-climax. This, the little shit, Nick, comes in and he's supposed to have offed the old folks after everything they've done for the little shit.
Yeah, he slit their throats and
he
stabbed
them. That's only by script. Now, if Nick had come in and started to go after their feet, I'd say, no, cut. I'd say, Nick, the script calls for you to slit the throat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, action. Go, because all of this is theater of the mind. There's these people aren't actually there. There wasn't anything discovered. You have to get past all that. They're quite literally offering you a plate of nothing. They're offering you a plate of continued story, because not only continued story through this very script, but also through actual movies that they've produced and put out already for you. And not only that, but stories that are almost like twins, like mm-hmm. the Joker, the Arthur Fleck story arc.
Well, the Arthur Fleck bit, the bit that I really liked was when he had such an admiration because he loved his mother, so he took good care of his mother. This is what Todd Phillips, when he read that story, was a DC Comics type thing. When he gave him that hug, you know, the hug that Vera Licious,
I do.
Made me hug with AI with the John Laws.
John Laws, I
this
sure
was
do.
Years ago. Because we just had a photo of it, and it made me cry a little bit. You know,
do you remember that picture I did when you first showed me that picture years ago? I sent you back one that said, "It said the nephew that won't stop calling," is what I called it.
Is it?
Yeah, I put the nephew that won't stop calling. That was the meme.
The nephew that won't stop calling. I don't remember that. Tell me about that.
Oh, you know what? I'll find it. I'll resend it to you.
Oh, that's okay. It's okay.
So if you go, let's keep going, dude. So if you know, let's go back to they were at the final read through at Conan O'Brien's place.
Okay.
Conan O'Brien plays a talk show host like Robert De Niro plays.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same. What happens then if, I'm going to walk you through this. If Nick is playing the Arthur Fleck character,
then
Robert De Niro, or I should say Conan O'Brien, is playing who? The Robert De Niro character. Do you see?
Yeah, that's right.
It all works out.
I love the ending. I love the ending of that movie. It goes, where he goes, how does it end? It ends somehow like where he goes,
want to give him the spoiler, man.
Oh, yeah, you don't spoiler it. Yeah.
Just in case somebody hasn't watched it. So then but if you take this, just remember about these stories.
He reads a poem. Sorry, Dave. He reads a poem, doesn't he? And he's there. And he's got his face makeup on and De Niro's character, what was his name again? The De Niro character?
He played Murray.
Murray Franklin, that's right.
Maurice Franklin.
Murray's Franklin, and there's Arthur Fleck, who's actually finally got himself on stage with full makeup. And that's the beauty of it. It's just, and.
But you know what happens after that, though, just so you don't get too emotionally involved, is there's craft services. Oh, yeah. Let me get a turkey on, which she, thank you. Cheers. Craft services call, get called in. It's all just cut.
Oh, yeah. Because it's all beautifully, it was a beautifully crafted movie. That movie only cost 50 million. Yeah. 50 million. Here's the thing, though, made over a billion.
I'm sorry, Rollo. Rick and Rollo. Rick, here's the thing, though. As long as you, the beauty of any movie or really any book or any written word is that as soon as you come back to reality, they need to change that part. They've lost you. So a good movie is going to keep you inside that universe or that idea the entire time. And then at the end, you're like, oh man, that was kind of fun. I can't wait for a next part or XYZ. You know, oh, I'm really interested in seeing, you know, speaking of, let's say Star Wars or something, I'd like to see more of that side of the story or that side of the story.
Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars, I loved in 1977 because I was 7 year old then because I was born in 1969.
I was born in 1969.
Yeah. There we go. So we're both the same age. Yeah. And then The Empire Strikes Back in 1980, which was
Episode V.
It was the V one.
Yeah. Do you remember?
I loved that. It was as depressing as it was because, you know, there wasn't a happy ending to that movie. You know, you had the Darth Vader character.
Well,
saying,
luckily you. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, the Darth Vader said, "I am your father." And then you realize that Luke's son was. I'm sorry, spoilers, but there you go. I mean,
I just have to drop that real quick, just for a minute. So entertain yourself just for a minute. I have to grab this call real quick.
All right, mate.
I'm back.
You're all right, mate.
Yeah,
it's okay. The software will take out the gap.
Mm.
Yes.
So yeah, my favorite character in the Star Wars, of course, is going to be Han Solo.
Oh yeah, Harrison Ford's character. Yeah.
He kind of went a little bit long in the tooth as far as being in movies. He was in a movie.
Oh
called,
yeah, I didn't like the latest Indiana Jones.
Nah.
I didn't like it. I thought even with the de-aging and they cheaped out on the bloody voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because his voice doesn't sound the same when he's a 90-year-old or 80-year-old.
So you had the Raiders of the Lost Ark in 81.
Oh, yeah, with George Lucas. Yeah, yeah.
And so, then you had the 84 Temple of Doom, right? That's the one
prequel. Yeah, prequel.
Yeah, it was like with the Kate Capshaw lady and the kid.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Steven's wife. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you had the Then you had him going back for number three, which was
Harrison. Here we go.
Harrison.
Hey. Yeah. We've got who have we got? Rick, has he joined us? Has he? Hello.
Linda's there.
Hello.
Oh, Linda.
I just wanted to chime in about Luke Skywalker, the son.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Effort.
Absolutely. Effort. Same as we were talking about the son with the Rob Reiner hoax. The Nick character would be the son.
Yeah, Linda.
Go, Linda.
So, what do you want to say?
I didn't really like Star Wars, so I only watched like the first one.
Okay. Why didn't you like it? What? Why didn't you like it? What was wrong with it?
It was a little lame.
Lame?
I like good acting.
What did you think of American Graffiti or T-8X or whatever, you know, George Lucas did before that? Did you enjoy that?
I don't watch a lot of movies like that. I'm very picky. Yep.
So you didn't like Star Wars?
Well, that's not really. Nope.
That's amazing, Linda. I mean, you got to be one of the few that didn't like it. I loved everything about it. It's called The Hero's Journey. It's
I mean, I understand that about it.
Mm. So what exactly didn't you like about it?
I thought the acting should be better for such a story that was being told in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, George Lucas.
I agree. Mark Hamill's always been garbage. And if you look at the deleted scenes from Star Wars, the B-reel that was cut, or the scenes cut from the movie, Rick shared it with me a while back. There's one scene where he's out there at the station. Oh, hold on.
All right, Rick and roll at 60.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
All right, yeah, Rick and Rollo 60. I don't know where Rick is. It is Saturday the 10th of December. 20th of December 2025. I'm here with Dave J and Linda. And we're talking about Star Wars and why we don't like it. Like, fucking love that. I love that fucking movie.
Well, there's certain scenes, though, that if you look at the, if you find there's, speaking of 7 and 16, in fact, there's a video called 16 Minutes of New Hope that you've never seen, which is scenes cut from, they're just B-reel. And there's one where old, and here's a theory I have, and the reason why that Luke Skywalker doesn't get a lot of screen time is because he sucks. And that's the Mark Hamill character. If you watch the 16 minutes of film,
might not have been a good actor back in that day. But didn't he have a car accident or something?
But back to why the movie he was no good is because if you watch those 16 minutes of footage, he's running around with this little floppy hat. I should say prancing around. He's prancing around with this little floppy hat. And just, and the reason it's cut is because no dude or no boys would say, oh, that's Luke Skywalker's a man to follow. They'd be like, that's a fruitcake. They're like, what's this Fruit Loop gonna? So just if you watch that, you'll find out that's why it was cut.
Oh,
and then there's
another
scene where he's with this kind of older brother type character, this mentor character, and it just makes him look like a doddering little kid next to this because this guy's more like a Tom Selleck type handsome guy compared to Luke. He's a little dweeby looking. So they cut that dude entirely out of the movie. They're like, we can't give Luke any screen time if they reduce him any lower than this.
I still love that movie.
I like every scene.
You know, as a 7-year-old, it's nostalgia. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. Linda, are you still there?
I'm here.
Do you know I have a newspaper from 1980 that still has, it's in the Philippines at the moment, but it has the ad from The Empire Strikes Back, Theater Times.
Okay.
Absolutely. I still have all that. I have them from all three of them.
The Empire Strikes Back is my favorite of all the Star Wars. Yeah, George Lucas. That was Irvin Kershner that directed that, wasn't it? It was just the best with the, not a happy ending, but you found out that Darth Vader or the Dark Father
in modern day parlance, we're talking about the Rob Reiner.
Rob the dark color. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And we got Nick, who's obviously a douche, who fits right in with the Mark Hamill character.
Oh my God.
You just look at him, just the little AI picture they put out of him with like with the mystery hand on his shoulder.
Yeah, you got
it's
it.
It's like come on, people.
Yeah. You got it in real life.
Yeah, in these real are all life. They're just motifs. They're the same thing being played over and over and over again.
Wow. That's amazing. I gotta tell you, when I heard that story about Nick Reiner doing that horrible act, and but everything you see on TV, you've got to treat as if you don't treat as not hoax, but
spontaneous combustion.
Fiction, just fiction. And look, it's got nothing to do with us. What
do you remember?
I've never met Rod Reiner. I've never met his son. And I never met Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
And but the story is fascinating.
It's ridiculous, is what it is. So you have Toby Hooper who does. Well, you remember you were just talking about Toby Hooper,
who
right? Did Poltergeist.
Now, Poltergeist. That's right. Toby Hooper. You call him Toby. I call him Tobe. Toby Hooper.
Tobe.
One of my favorite Toby Hooper movies was. When you light on fire. What's it called?
Spontaneous Combustion, 1990.
Yeah, you remember that movie?
1990.
That was his own. That was his own movie. Yeah, Tobe Hooper.
I remember when they were putting out stories back then. This would have been the LA Times about investigations into the idea because it was obviously from kind of. That was where the genesis was because I was hearing about that in the 80s. And then the release date of that would have been 1990. So he obviously was building off of what was already being put into like the news cycle.
Yeah.
They haven't had a good spontaneous combustion story in a while. That'll be
no spontaneous combustion went away with the serial killers.
I was in LA when they were when some of those the Hillside Strangler when they were running that Oaks.
All right.
Yeah. They would do it during drive time and they'd tell you that you could be snatched underneath the overpasses because obviously that's when traffic was really heavy and people are obviously under the overpasses. So it was just like controlled narrative because you know the audience is actually living what, and if they believe you, they will live the fear that you're feeding them from the radio. Just by the proximity of their real location, but there's no real.
Yeah, was the 90s all the over the highway shootings, the sniper shootings?
Those have been going on for a long time, so you'd have to be specific.
Well, they had a run on them at one point. Like you could just be driving anywhere.
Well, go look it up and then let me know. Yeah.
Well, we just had in Australia. We just had a Bondi shooting
hoax.
Hoax. Have you guys been looking at that?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Well, the Bondi is just crazy. I don't believe it's just a massive sale. Because we had a thing in 1996, we had a thing called Port Arthur.
Uh-huh.
And Port Arthur was a guy called Martin Bryant, said this, mentally deranged kid, with his.
We just talked about that. Don't go too far. Mentally deranged, the Joker, the same as what we're talking about.
Yeah.
With Bryant. It's the same story. Being told.
Well, this brand new one, it Port Arthur 2.0.
Yeah, that's what I saw
It makes no sense. It makes no sense where the video footage we've got. It makes zero sense.
It makes sense to where if you look at it with the right frame of reference. So if you look at the Albanese character, Is that how you say his name?
Oh, our prime minister.
So if you look at his character, look at what he's doing, because that's the result of the Bondi hoax. So the Bondi hoax is the action. Action. Cut. Now, what then can I build from that scene? Now, from that scene, now look, take a look and watch the Albanese character, and whatever he's talking about is the reason they did it. And so what he's going to bring up is most likely anti-Semitism nonsense, which means
all that. And not only that, digital IDs. So
yeah, of course. So young
digital IDs. The digital ID. People can't get them. Yeah, and it will be something to do with, I mean, they did the gun grab back in 1996 after Port Arthur.
Port Arthur, yeah.
So it's got to be a digital ID type thing where, you know, they won't let young children be on social media in Australia anymore. It's because they don't like being accused. Our Prime Minister cannot even speak properly. He speaks like this. You know, he's got a lisp and he's got, he can't
so
even.
It's hard to understand him.
It's incredibly hard to
comprehend his words. Think about what we just think about that though. Take that you can't understand him and he's the so-called leader, and then transcribe that over into the children, the little shits not being able to go onto social media. All right. What does that do? That creates a void. So then they're going to start to adapt their own language, which is going to be separate from the so-called ones that have access to the internet. So they're going to be still speaking this language, and they're going to say, well, you know, now that we have time on our hands, we're going to do something else. And that's going to be producing this new subculture.
That's right.
So now you're reducing the generation gap instead of it just being the so-called oldie goldies that are out of the loop. You're going to have those out of the loop at age, you know, 20. They're going to be already, or whenever you can go on the internet, those are going to be the ones who have already been lost into the system.
I hear you, Dave.
So then it just reduces the age of entry is all. It just reduces the age of entry. That's all.
Mm.
It's like when you have to be a certain height to get on a ride.
Did you see the footage? Did you see the footage of the Bondi where they were on the bridge?
Yeah,
that were blanks. I know what a real gunshot sounds like, and that were blanks. They were shooting blanks.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. I none of that is even trustworthy anymore. It's just not. Mm. Not with the AI videos you can do. It's just not.
Yeah, I hear you there. But when you have street theater. So, Dave, let me talk over you for a second. The police, if there were police, where were they? If it was real,
it wasn't.
There's a police station from that bridge is like a mile away. It's like where were they?
They were right where they're supposed to be.
Nowhere. Nowhere.
Everybody was right where they're supposed to be, because here's how you know that. Because there isn't a big uproar or upcry of people saying you're all frauds, because most people want to believe this actually happens. Most people want this to be real, and it's not. Until that dynamic changes, nothing gets done. That's why it's important to reduce that age threshold. Just so you know, everything ties into each other. There's nothing that's just happening on its own accord. Everything leads into the next thing. And just also, I do want to say also, just for the Seven Code lovers, when you have the singer, the idea of the Rob Reiner's old lady, you have her middle name Singer, and the age they give is 70. That's your Seven Code. That's how you enter all that. So this is all just most people who've been around should realize all this stuff is a nonsense. But if you keep talking about the details, you never get to the point or why are they doing it? Well, if you're just debating the details of the movie, you know, it's just like reviewing a movie. But why
I remember when I was talking to my father about 9/11, and it was like talking to a brick in the wall. It was like this is, you know, nobody died, nobody got hurt. You were the one. You remember when you said nobody died, nobody got hurt?
I sure
and
do.
I said that to John Lawless.
14th John December, Lawless. 2012.
Yeah, and I said that to John Lawless, and he couldn't get it through his thick skull that this is a psyop. How do those two big buildings fall straight down? They're steel buildings. Mm. They were demolished. Mm. They were demolished, and they had needed to demolish them somehow. There was
I said it could have been made into a street carnival, but if they wanted to, it was turned into weeping and wailing. Because remember when we started this talk, I said that you have the option to leave somebody in mourning, or you have the option to leave them living. Those are the only two options with communication.
There you go.
So, but always be bringing someone into life.
Yeah, I know, but that lived in my head for years. You know,
you couldn't figure it out.
I did figure it out because of Simon Shack's movie, September Clues.
September Clues.
Yeah, I swear to God, once I watched that, you know, I just went and I tried to tell everyone, but nobody would listen. And look, does it matter now?
No, it matters to you.
It does, because it still lives in my head. It still lives in my head.
You did the right thing. That's all you can do.
Thank you, Dave. Well,
yeah.
Did you ever watch
The Matrix? Go ahead.
Matrix, I've watched many times. With Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
It is a fantastic movie. And
Keanu is also a bad actor, just saying, Rilla.
Yeah, exactly. That was with when he was young, what was that movie?
But he's terrible in John Wick also.
Bill and
Ted's Excellent Adventure in 1989, man. Then you had Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, which was like the following, which was 91.
I fucking love that. You smoke a spliff and a good bud of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that? And you just have a good time.
I've done that.
He's just going to have a good time.
My favorite bit really is, I'm not too much for the jumping around and the shooting bits, but I like the bit at the beginning where he kind of learns of what's happening. And then
when George Carlin comes out of the TARDIS or out of the telephone booth or something. George Carlin, remember? Because George Carlin, at his end of days, he told the truth. He got up on stage. He told the truth.
Are you talking the comedian, the Jewish comedian, George Carlin?
George Carlin, yeah.
GC, 73, he told you what you wanted to hear.
Well,
it's a big club, and you're not in it. And then he realizes when you watch that, when the famous scene of him saying that, watch him, because he realizes he screwed the pooch. He realizes he effed up. So he comes back later and tries to add like, well, we're not in it. As his nose is, you know, sticking through the, you know, like Pinocchio, Get out of here with George Carlin.
You didn't enjoy that?
No, he's a Jew clown. He's meant for your amusement. He's a clown. Yeah. And in fact, next time you watch that clip of It's a Big Club and you're not, he's looking at you, Goy, you cow, and saying, you're not in it. Then he realizes, we're not in it. Whoops.
Whoops.
He's a big fraud.
Well, I remember.
Yeah, everything's what people say, man. Everything's what people say.
Dave, sorry to talk over you, but I remember when he was interviewed, someone brought a camera up straight to George Carlin's face and asked him about 9/11.
Mm.
And he had very little to say about it. Yeah.
Whoop, 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 whoop. He did the Three Stooges, right?
He threw down a smoke bomb
and disappeared.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. But he's quite entertaining as an actor.
Mm.
But when it came to, he was side of the Jews, I guess. Because I think the Jews are part of this psyop in Australia.
Well, they're all the same. The Catholics are the Jews.
Rick and Roll.
Evangelicals are the Jews.
Rick and Roll.
No matter what your age, you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
All right. Yeah, it's Christmas time. It's December 20th. We're with Dave J and Linda. I don't know where the fuck Rick is. He might have dropped off the perch, but I'm not.
Before we leave, Linda, were you going to talk about The Matrix before we leave that subject? Oh, can I add one bit about it? And what's kind of interesting
is if you go to
the release in Hollywood, it's called the Mann Village Theater. This is very important for those kind of in town because it's also called, formally the Fox.
Okay.
Fox Theater. That's the idea, the 666 idea. This is also a theater that a lot of your big movies have first come out that kind of set the narrative. Like JFK was premiered there.
The first
Fast and Furious was done there. What was another one that was done there?
Spider-Man was done.
Hairspray.
Oh man, one of my favorite heroes.
Yeah, Spider-Man. A lot of them were previewed there at that theater.
Because he'd never show his face.
It's an icon. Spider-Man. It's an iconic theater, definitely in Hollywood. Go ahead, Linda. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that was all I wanted to add.
Go, Linda. Linda.
I was just going to say that if you look at the world being ran as a corporation, the Jews are the entertainment part of it.
Okay, let me.
They ran the entertainment.
That I get the and the banks and some other things, but let me kind of.
Oh
get to
yeah, the money changes.
Because I grew up in this area.
The most money spent. The most money spent by people is usually with entertainment. Like football games.
Okay, so let's move on forward. So then if you have the idea of the Jew, this is not the idea of just the little hats that are sitting in their synagogue. The Jew is all those that worship Yahweh or the God of the Old Testament, whether they call themselves Catholic, evangelical, whether they call themselves Zionist or Orthodox, or whether they call themselves Jews, or Muslims, or Catholics, or all Jesuits, all of them. Anyone who worships Yahweh Testament is a Satan worshiper. Now, here's the difference. Here's the difference that even your, now I'm talking about the small hats. Now I'm talking about the little hat Jews. Even the best Jew, the nicest Jew, the friendliest Jew that you've ever known, who has been nice to you, has given you a job, blah, blah, blah. Even they, according to their own writings, consider you no more than a dog.
What's wrong with a dog, though? What's wrong with a dog?
You're not a dog. There's nothing wrong with a dog. There's nothing wrong with a cat.
Look, I've met.
There's nothing wrong with an ostrich. There's nothing wrong with a giraffe. But you're not.
Yeah, but that's right. I mean,
so I'm not going to argue.
I'm just letting
you know.
Okay,
I'm tired of all the back and forth and years and years and years of time waste. You're still all talking about the time waste. It's the figure eight, you won't stop self-consuming nonsense. You can't get to the rest until you get past this basic stuff, until you leave that world behind. You can't get to what's real until you leave that world behind. So unless you're willing to do that, none of this is important. Because you're just going to lead yourself back into temptation. That's all you're going to do.
Temptation. So
I'd rather talk about movies and stuff, quite frankly, Linda, if you don't mind.
Mm.
I didn't talk with Rolo so that I could talk to you about this nonsense, because I know where you stand. I've heard it enough.
All right. Well, look, at the end of the day, I've met a lot of Muslims or Arabs, and I've met a lot of Jews in my lifetime, and I've got to admit, the most pleasant ones are the Arabs, the Muslims. You know, the ones
Arabs
that
aren't necessarily Muslim,
or just
one or the other.
So a so-called Arab
is not necessarily a Muslim. So you can't just compare the two.
Yeah, yeah. I'll talk to you straight down the barrel of a gun, Dave. I like you, and I've always liked you. And this Bondi psyop has the stink of a Jewish psyop, because they were shooting at Jews. But hold on. Do you see how they were handling their weapons? Like, honestly, you saw the camera footage. If it was real, like, seriously, how are you gonna shoot anyone?
How are you gonna shoot anyone
the way they were shooting?
It's just because it's not, if you're not doing something, it's not gonna look real. When you're doing something real, it looks natural. Just look at anybody who's good at something. Whether
they're on that bridge. They're on that bridge.
When it's real, it looks natural.
Dave. Father and son. And how do you get guns in Australia? It makes no sense. They would be on a watch list. And
how many details do you need, Rolo, before you just say, I don't need to look at one more detail because it's a psyop. It's fake.
Well, there was a guy that did a selfie where he had blood on his head. And who takes a selfie of themselves, you know, with their camera?
Nobody.
Nobody does that. And it didn't even look like real blood either. You've been shot in the head.
Yeah, I put up a note as soon as that happened on the old X platform.
I put it up on the old X platform,
and I want to check on that. It's already up to 58,000 views. So at least, and all that does is it simply states, be sure not to spread false witness of death. Nobody died. Nobody got hurt. Bondi Beach, Australia. And then it has, of course, I did a few, you know, seven code deprograms of the, and I added them as a visual, but that's at least getting out there. So it's not like, not being believed as readily.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it. You know why?
Yeah, this was,
You know, where that guy disarmed, where it disarmed him and didn't shoot the guy. It makes no sense. Whereas, seriously, you disarm the guy And it was all crisis actors.
There's a subtext to that as well. If you just want to look at the simple kind of input output. So if you have a character that's considered the hero, and then of course there's going to be a fund me or some sort of a collection taken for him, which is an offering, just another form of an offering to another hero, which is nothing more than another idol. So then he collects that money. What then happens into the mind of all these so-called men running around? What happens to them? They start to then equate these ideas of being a hero with financial gain. And so you're going to start to see more interaction between, let's just say, blowhards and people getting into your business or becoming a rat or ratting on you. So it's really just instilling this idea that you need to take on the enforcement of law. That the law enforcement begins in the mirror type of idea, you know? So it built, because a lot of like 1984 shows it to you when the little children are the ones ratting. But now they're going to enforce the idea that it's every age that rats. You know, you need to be a rat. That to be a rat.
I read 1984 in 19 George Orwell's. What was his real name? I forget his name, but it was a good book. 1984.
Heinrich Finkelstein.
Finkelstein. I liked what was his name? He did Animal Farm too. Remember Animal Farm?
Yeah, all pigs are equal. Some pigs are more equal than others. Something like that. Paraphrase.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole idea of just even within this little area of or community, so-called, of the internet. Some pigs are more equal than others. If you actually have a true offering, you're silenced. If you have nothing but babble and bullshit to put out of your mouth, you're open. Welcome. Oh, please come in. Please, we welcome you with open arms.
Well, I hear you, because that's what I reckon this is what they're trying to do with this PSYOP, this Bondi PSYOP, is digital IDs, where they don't want young kids on social media. Which, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know, because I'm not a politician, but I do believe in freedom of speech.
Do I even need to say this?
If you
participate in politics, you might as well go watch a movie. You're just participating in the same thing. All right. So then I was kind of thinking about a few connections though, as you said that. So with 1984, if you remember the anti-hero, because he goes back into the system, is Winston Smith.
That's right.
Who just so happens to be 39.
That's right. That movie had, John Hurt and the wonderful voice guy. What was his name? Richard Burton, was it? Yeah. Fuck me. That was a great movie. I loved it.
You remember the inner party officials, like the guy who was sweating him? He played both sides of him, like the father figure was named O'Brien.
Okay. O'Brien. Yeah.
Yeah. We already talked about a very similar or close name, Conan O'Brien tonight. Remember the party?
Oh, because of the Rob Reiner. Murder.
O'Brien is the guy of the inner party. Do you see? It's called the inner party in 1984. And it's also the room he brings them in. So you have remember I told you we were going to play Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon. That's all we keep doing. One thing leads right back to the other thing, right back to the other thing. And then at some point it's like, dude, you haven't figured out that this is all just a big act. It's all a big con. Because until you get to that.
Do you think The Matrix is a modern day 1984 movie?
It all is. Yeah. It's all.
Yeah.
It all is.
Because we've never gotten out of 1984. Yeah.
The one Neo, which is simply just one, the anagram of one. The one Neo, what does he do? He gets out only to go back in to try and save something. That's it's a fool's errand. It's the same thing that Winston Smith does to a point until O'Brien, of course, you know, gets him back on track at the end. So 1984 is not a hero story. It's an anti-hero story because Winston Smith goes out, tastes freedom, and then falls back into line. He falls back under the spell. He tasted the truth. And
maybe that's what I've done, Dave.
It is. You got to stop looking for water where there's no water, man. You got to go where the food is. Remember that it's like, oh, so we go out. We've been driving, you know, water and food out here to you guys out in the desert, you know, for the last 30, 40 years. And
I've been through a desert with a horse with no name.
And he goes, you know, we thought of a real good idea. You know, why don't you guys just move to where the food is? That was a Sam Kinison joke, man.
When Sam died, that upset me because the last thing he said before he died or something? He said,
"Be it tomorrow."
He said something like,
"He said, see you on the internet.
I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go." He died at 32 or something. Wasn't very young.
Speaking of 32, let's talk about that. Let me think. Rob Reiner's what? How old is that Joker? He should be.
Rob was quite old.
I mean, Nick Reiner, his son.
Nick,
the son.
Character. Oh yeah, Nick was about 30. I'll look it up.
I'd say he was probably pretty close to 32.
32, right?
I would say look that
give
up.
Give me a second. I'll look up.
Yeah, look Nick up how old he is.
Yeah, give me a second.
It'll be right in there. Because you've noticed
that we've talked. 34 seems to be the new 33, so maybe he's 34.
Well, 34 is 7. It's always going to be 7.
Yeah.
33 is 6. It's always going to be 6. 6 pushed together, like the idea of 2 threes, is 8. Because you can't have a cube or a contained story without the 6, sure. The 7, and the 8. If you don't know how that works, hold a dice in your hand. It has 6 sides and 8 corners. The only thing between 6 and 8 is 7. That's why it represents the dice or the roll. Numbers mean things. Right. You only got to remember 1 through 9. It's not very difficult.
Right, right. And also
reduce it always.
Every side adds to 7.
Okay, so he died
every 2 opposite sides add to 7.
Yeah, always reduce it to the lowest common denominator, like the point. Here's the point. If it always does something, then that's a testable fact. If something always does something, that's called a testable fact. Write it down. It's not going to change. Apply it now that you know it. If anyone claims to know something, they should live their entire life with that always being applied. You can't
He was 32 when he killed his father.
Okay, so 32. Didn't we just talk about this? But you didn't learn anything by your language. He didn't kill anybody. Nobody did.
Well,
nobody
this, heard. This,
the story this, says,
this, but he, the story.
The character was 32. We just talked about that, right? Do you see how it all ties into 32? Is the idea? If you want to go down to what it means, 3 plus 2 is what? 5 senses. That means
he
that
was,
if the story was, is brought into your senses.
But
also,
the,
32.
The story is more interesting to me because of, yes, he was had a famous father. He had a famous mother. I don't know if the mother was that famous, but it was the tragedy is what.
There is no tragedy. That's the whole point. I'm going to ask you this, Roland, to take into account
anything.
Your responsibility that people are listening to you. And if they then go to the end of their, let's say time ends, and they say that I heard that this person was murdered and their throats slit. And God says, who lied to you? Who told you that? Roland mm-hmm. told me that.
Yeah.
Every bit of that witness is
well,
on you.
Well,
because if I hear mm-hmm. you say it, if I hear you say, or anybody, it doesn't matter anybody. Mm-hmm. That's why it's like a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to know me, but it's also don't know me if you have loose lips. Because I love you so much, Rollo, that I'm going to stand
before I love you too.
With God. I'm going to stand right there with you with God, and God will ask mm-hmm. you, why did you claim that this person died when nobody died, nobody got hurt?
Yeah.
And did you hear that? And guess what I have to say? I have to say, what? Yes, he told me this. It's well. Better. It's better, and I love you so much that I'll do that. But guess what? Mm. I'm also going to be there to watch you dissipate, meaning because there's one thing you don't get away with in this life, and that's the false witness of death. Zero.
False witness.
Because I have to ask you this. I have to ask you this just as a basic question. It doesn't have anything to do with any of these stories. When is it okay for you to lie to somebody about the death of someone? When is that acceptable to you?
It's not acceptable.
The answer is never. Exactly. Mm. So that's the takeaway from all this. So once you
we got John Laws. We got John Laws to say that.
I don't know. John Laws is, I told you, he's down in the basement.
Rick and Roll. Rick and Roll. Dixie. Rick and Roll.
Click on the donate link.
Yeah, truthmeets.com, Saturday, the 20th of December, 2025. We're here with Dave and Linda. I don't know where the fuck. where the
fuck? You're kidding me.
You're kidding me. Oh, we've got Jolla here. G'day, Jolla.
No, that's me, actually.
Oh, that's you cocaine. Doing that, is it?
Cocaine.
That's awesome. I thought that was you. I thought that was you,
Jolly. You blockheaded bastard.
Of course you thought it was me.
You blockheaded bastard.
Oh, man, you are doing a really good job there. That's hilarious. You got a really good soundboard. That's hilarious.
It's the one I borrowed from Joel.
Oh, you borrowed it from Joel. That's hilarious. Oh, nice clap.
Yeah, you did it right.
Nobody died, nobody got hurt.
You're doing it good.
All right.
Well, Jolla's one of my favorites of all time when it comes to radio.
So you thought the Three Beer Drunk would be a pretty good sitcom, huh?
Oh, my favorite sitcom was with Rob Reiner. One of my favorite sitcoms was Rob Reiner, wasn't it, when he was a young man?
Yeah. All in the Family?
All in the Family. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, with Archie.
I wasn't born yesterday. I was born in 1969. So were you.
We were born the same year, Pops.
That's it. Yeah. Call me Pops or call me Uncle or whatever. Yeah, it's classic.
You know his wife in that sitcom sounds just like Marge in
the Brady Bunch.
Jean Stapleton? You mean Jean Stapleton?
Whoever his wife was.
In All in the Family?
I didn't like that show either. I thought.
I know, Linda. I know, but it's not about you. Hey, All in the Family? Are you talking about the wife character?
Yes.
Yeah, that was played by Jean Stapleton.
Mm.
Okay. Sally Struthers played the daughter, and Rob Reiner played
But her voice, I think that Marge, what's that show?
Simpsons?
The Simpsons. I don't watch that either. I've just heard her voice.
I know you don't like it. I know. You're like one of those people that, you know, I'm just calling into the show, you know, this, these guys watch these TV. I don't watch TV. You know, I eat nothing unhealthy. It's not me. I know you're a hero.
I'm listening most of the time, though.
But if you have something to say about this particular character and you wanted to add it, that's great. But just to bitch and moan, it's like, I don't need that.
I'm not bitching.
I don't need to hear about what you don't like.
I'm just saying that I think that Marge is based on the character of All in the Family. That's all I was saying.
You mean Jane's the one?
What about Howard?
I get it. Thank you.
What about Howard Stern? What he got up to?
I liked him when he was kind of on the radio originally before he went satellite.
So, yeah. What did you like about him? Like, it was just
I liked the sidekicks more than really him. I liked the sidekick.
Oh, right. Yeah, the sidekicks. Were. Now, the huge cocaine addict that lost his nose or something, didn't he? Before he died. Because he snorted so much cocaine.
Why did you bring up Howard Stern?
Just because of the love of his craft. Just like John Laws.
Mm.
The love of his craft. That was their whole nature of their reason to be. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
And that's what's your reason to be, Dave?
What's my reason to be?
Is it to produce the best buds that produce?
It's actually to spread the truth that my Lord Jesus Christ is the way, truth, and the life. That's my purpose. Everything else is just... Because I'm beyond time. Here's the difference between me and all of you, is that I'm beyond time. You still exist in time, I don't. So I'm just doing this because there's nothing else to do until you all go away.
You're retired.
I still do several things every day. That's not what I'm talking about. You and I are talking about two different things. You're still kind of stuck on the physical plane. I'm talking about a spiritual truth. I'm talking about the ultimate dissipation or the ultimate continuation. That's what I'm talking about.
Well,
it's one or the other. And what's beautiful is that most people go through their life thinking that nobody listens to them, that they're unloved and all this other stuff, blah, blah, blah. I'm here to tell you that I do love you. And guess what? I listen to you.
I know you do. I know you do.
That's where the double edge comes in. The fact that I listen to you makes it important for you to know that absolutely everything you say, I will remember. And if you false witness, I cannot help. But that's not going to help you, though. I work every day to try and get people to stop doing that. I ask people every day to stop starting and ending their sentence with "I don't know." I want people to stop doing that. That's what I actually want. Because if they don't know, and they even tell themselves that they don't know, before and after they say something, then why are they talking?
I hear you.
And then when I, yours truly, gets up and says, "Why are you talking? Oh, don't you dare tell me to." I am telling you. I am telling you to be silent so that you don't say something that I'm going to have to place upon your very soul.
Well, I'm never going to take offense to that.
Yeah.
I'm never going to take offense to that.
Because you're realizing that there's finally someone who's actually listening to me, and I am listening.
Yeah.
To every word people say, I listen to every word.
Yeah, you're the nicest guy. I've been given the most gorgeous life in this existence. And I never wanted to be ungrateful for the gifts of life. So I never had children or whatever. Have you got children, Dave?
I do.
Yeah. See,
I've been married since 1988.
And have you looked after your children carefully?
Sure do.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's what
I give them about. Exactly what they want. They want space. They get space. They want to be
good
close.
Man.
They get close. And
good
then,
man.
Yeah, I got married in 1988. I met my wife in 1987.
Good man.
And then we've been going all over ever since then. We're still.
Yeah, see, it's not about selfishness or it's not all about your own. I love the sound of my own voice. And I know you do too.
Do I love the sound of your own voice? Is that what you're asking me? Is that what you just asked me?
Okay.
Yeah, I have a voice for a little. Keep talking, baby. Keep
answer
talking, baby. I heard what you said.
Yeah, I know. I'm having a few.
I just want people to, if they're going to be talking, what are you talking for? You know, if you're going to say, I don't know, then I expect silence. So let me give you an example. You ready? I don't know. Next topic. See how that works?
I love the silence. I love the silence. That was good. See, I get your sense of humor. I really do.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's classic. Yeah,
it's very dry. It's desert dry.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
No, you have a really good. Hey, we're here for a good. We're not. We're here for a good.
Say again, Linda.
Linda.
It's called The Bud Is Juicy.
Yeah, The Bud Is Juicy.
It's called The Bud Is Juicy. That sounds like a good title. Is that a movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think Linda's talking about super bud.
Oh, yeah.
Super bud.
Yeah, I used to have to, because when I had my business, you have to grow. Your inventory's got to be at least half produced by you, meaning that I had to then I had to create the wax. I had to create, I did all the photography and all the adding and all that. I did all that. It's a one man show, but you could buy stuff as long as it wasn't over half of your inventory.
But when you're high on a super bud, like seriously, this is where I made a mistake in life. You want to hear about it?
It depends on you. You ask yourself this. Where's my flagpole going to be by the time you're done with me? Are you going to leave my flag in the dirt, stepped on, or is it going to be rising high because you brought me into
life? Not a chance.
All right. So make this a very learned-filled story.
When I had a super bud, I spoke to my father. I was in New Zealand. I don't want to give too many details away, but it was.
What was that address again?
No, I'm not going to give the address.
Exactly. Where was that address again? You say that, and they had all kinds of nasty butt. Okay. Where exactly was that?
Hey, Dave, this is why you're so cool. Yeah. Because there's no way I'm going to, give out personal details.
Yeah.
Unless I know you personally.
Just shoot me a text and tell me.
I was so wasted on this super.
Were you only on that or booze also?
Oh, booze.
What else were you on?
I was on booze as well, but
okay,
it was
see,
super.
His whole story shot. Cut.
No.
Because you're about to give witness to one thing when it wasn't by itself. It wasn't a controlled experiment. Meaning you weren't what's called sober, if that's a word. And then you just say, oh, I'm going to try this super bud and then tell you what it did. No, because you're also drunk. And were you also on powder?
Yeah, a little bit of cocaine.
Okay, well, there you go. I'm already losing faith in this experiment of yours. It's like all of a sudden, I was picturing you in a lab coat and like doing like this experiment with the super bud. But now I see you as just like almost half passed out in a half dirtied room.
Ugh. The half dirty groom.
Dirty groom.
I'm a glomon. I'm a glomon, aren't I, Dave?
Yeah, Rolo's his own detail mystery.
It's like It's like you are wherever you want to be. So if you want to always be wallowing in certain subjects and topics and light,
oh, look,
that's where you're going to be.
Look, there are people that live rent-free in my brain all the time. My mother, who died in 2018, lives rent-free. I swear, I have rent-free people in my Donald Trump.
Have you been baking
my dog Rosie lives rent-free. I look, man. I'm just happy that the life the good Lord has given me, and to talk to you guys. You know, is a pleasure. I always treat it as a joy. You know, it's like beer gave us. Who said that beer makes us happy? Well, look, I'm drinking a beer right now.
Otis.
I don't know if it was Otis or whatever, but it's just one of the, you know, beer and cigarettes and cocaine and I'm not sure about crystal meth. Crystal meth might be a little bit hard, or cocaine. You know what I mean? But at least you guys understand what I'm talking about. I'm an addict. I can get addicted to anything. I was addicted to, when I was a kid, I was addicted to Scooby-Doo what was his name? Where are you? Exactly. Casey Kasem, with that voice of his that he could do. Right. It was a classic when he lost his shit.
Scooby Dooby Doo.
Where are you?
I always thought that was funny. It's like the doo doo. It's like
Dooby 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 Doo. Yeah, yeah, that's you know.
Oh,
what I
Shaggy.
Mean.
Yeah. Oh, Shaggy.
You've had a doobie or two, haven't you, Dave? Oof,
thousands. Literally thousands.
Exactly.
Thousands and thousands.
Hundreds
of buds. Hundreds of different cannabis buds. Because a lot of people will see like the cannabis flower or like the leaf and you don't necessarily like the pot, they'll call it the pot leaf, like symbol. Mm-hmm. That's called a fan leaf. You don't actually smoke that part. You smoke the mm-hmm. bud of the flower. You smoke the flower of the plant itself.
There you go.
So that there's a difference there. So yeah, that's why they call them buds, 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 because they're flower buds.
But I never liked, this is a part of where it never worked for me. What's it called? Where it takes your mind. I didn't like it.
What drug doesn't take your mind? I'm trying to understand.
Cocaine or, just basic cigarettes or alcohol. It doesn't. What? No. Whereas, listen.
I'm listening.
It was where I, you know, where I did LSD.
You looked at yourself too closely, is what happened, and you got scared.
Yeah, I looked at myself.
Dude, I don't
want to
do that no more.
Yeah, yeah, no mo.
It puts you right in front of that mirror is what it does.
Exactly.
Like, ooh, I didn't like the looks of that.
Who the fuck is that in the mirror?
Yeah, and then you run away.
You're looking at your hand.
What's in your hand?
What's in your hand? You're waving your hand in front of yourself, and it's still there. You know what I mean? When you're on LSD. It's just crazy. How's my hand still there and there? And I still remember. Oh, man, those crazy days of... one of my favorite drugs was MDMA. What was it? Ecstasy. Where it gave you that really... where it flooded all the serotonin out of your brain into, you know, like an orgasm, you know, when you're, that's one of my favorite.
Did you ever figure out why your hand was still there? Like you were working
never,
behind.
Never did. I mean, I remember it in the morning because it was just a crazy drug, LSD. What does LSD stand for again? Lithium, sodium, diatribe. I don't know, but I've tried everything. I will try anything once. And whatever doesn't kill you will only make you stronger. You remember that, Dave?
I do remember that saying. I sure do.
Yeah. So, the only thing that fucked me up was Superbuds.
Can you explain to me what that means?
Superbuds or marijuana?
Cannabis? Is it marijuana? Are you saying that cannabis. Superbuds are in cannabis?
Yeah, that fucked me up. Okay.
Well, here's the thing, though. You have different strains of cannabis. So you have a sativa, indica, kind of on the body
side.
Well,
the one I did
high side. So you did a sativa side, which is more of a head thing. The indica is more of a body thing.
Mm.
So you maybe did a super silver haze or something nice that.
Rick and Roller.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Oh, go ahead.
All right, Saturday, the Rick and Rollo 60. We're having a great chat. Okay, so it's Saturday, the 6th of December. Fuck me. 2025. Linda and my super bud is Dave J. Dave J. I don't know where the fuck Rick is. I don't know where he is. Where the fuck is this cunt? I don't know.
Yeah, we're Luke done for the year on Bongversations. We have nothing going
Bongversations. Yeah, exactly. I love the Bongversations. I don't understand them, mate. Do you know what the Bongversations remind me of? It reminds me of the book. What's it called? A Brief History in Time of Space.
By what's his nuts?
Yeah. I spoke to John Laws about it, and that's when he called me a blockheaded bastard.
Oh, nice.
He did. He was a guy in a wheelchair or something, and I spoke to
Stephen Hawking?
Yeah, that's him.
He's in the basement. I told you, he's down in the basement. He's down there with the rest of them. Hey, remember Norman Lear, who did the All in the Family? So he was who did All in the Family, the Jeffersons, Sanford and Son, Good Times, Maude. Mm. What was the other one he did? One Day at a Time.
I do. That were classic days. My parents never let me watch all those TV shows. So that was the saddest part.
Yeah. So what happened was he comes from New Haven, Connecticut. Well, Connecticut is very close to where the Sandy Hooks happened, bringing it back to that idea. And so you can see that all of those different TV shows are very much in play today. Like All in the Family dealt with the idea of what did it deal with? It dealt with all this stuff. Homosexuality, anti-Semitism was a big one. All that stupid shit that doesn't mean anything. So then
racism.
Yeah, all of that. It was all done in that show.
When we're children, racism, it never occurred to me. I was when I went to school, again, I wasn't homeschooled. So I think I had a little there were Jews that I met. I'll say his name, Stuart Allen. He was a Jewish guy, and I met him later years. Wasn't the nicest guy, whereas the Muslims or the Arabs that I went to school with.
See, I can't.
So, I'm sorry, I'm upsetting you.
The Arabs are not necessarily Muslims. I'm just go ahead, continue.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they were sweethearts. They really were. They were just because I worked in Lakemba at the video store, and I was around.
Be Muslim. Kind. Rewind.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the Steven Spielberg movie. Be Kind. Rewind. Yeah,
that goes back. Well, you did the VHS tapes. I know you did.
Yeah,
how old you are.
Yeah, well, I was born in October.
You did the tapes. 4th, remember, 19th. You used to have to grab the copy from behind the cover, and if the cover was out, if it was a real big movie,
I'd
you'd have a whole line
it.
Of them behind the counter.
Yeah.
And yeah. Like,
I would do that. I would do that for sure.
And then you had to rewind.
Yeah, look, I've got no beef. I've got no beef with Jews or Arabs, Muslims. You know, I've got no beef with anyone. I really, the only beef I've got is with the police. I think we should have open carry here in Australia.
Move to Arizona, man. You'll be fine. Yeah, it's always about going to where the food is, man. So go to where you want to live. So do you remember the Roxbury? The Roxbury.
Oh,
is like
the Roxbury. Yeah,
well,
I
had this idea of like the jazz club and that type of. Well, do you remember bringing it back to Simi Valley, which is right by Agoura Hills, and the Poltergeist was filmed on Roxbury?
Wow.
Yeah, that brings you right back. It all ties in. So anything you look into as far as directional, it just look at the names used. The name used is going to tell you all you need to know about the rest of it.
Wow.
The rest is just kind of filler. Or details, the eight.
Sure.
You know, eight. I ate the details.
Yeah, I hear you.
Because if you believe something or if you buy something, what are you going to be? Where are you going to be the next day? You're going to be right in line, waiting for the updates, waiting for the latest, waiting for the breaking, you know?
You bet.
And we talked about last week with Rick. I talked about how breaking in simple gematria. This is for gematria fans out there. Breaking equals 67. And Linda and I were just talking about the 6, 7, 8 interchange. But the breaking is equals 67. That's your 67. It's bringing you into the mind of the possessed cube. So breaking, evidence. What else? Silence, alchemy. Is also 67.
Silence. I've heard silence. Silence is violence. Silence is violence.
To the uneducated,
if you don't speak up, yeah.
Silence is violence to the ignoramus.
That's my saying.
You heard your saying, but now you heard a different saying. Now you can tell.
Yeah.
People,
well,
did you ever hear what this guy want? This guy said. And then, but also just to finish, 67 also equals water and also on the soul, for example.
Do you know the new avatar,
the water in that scenario would be, you know, just going back with the flow, right? The flow of whatever society.
The flow is, or the water is what you're feeding on. It's the story.
Yep.
The water is the intake. It's what you're consuming.
Hey, Linda.
That's why it says to walk on water. Walk above all this nonsense. The water's
Linda,
not talking about, it doesn't do you any good to have you the powers to walk across Lake Mead. That's not what it's talking about. The idea of to walk across the water is to walk across all these stories and not be involved in them, not become a Peter and fall into the waves or Peter out. Don't Peter out, meaning
don't get involved.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, Linda, have you seen
that's all that stuff means.
The new movie Flow with the cat. The cat that goes on the journey that's done in...
I have not.
Yeah. Check it out. You'll love it. It's a cat that gets on a boat with a dog and a raccoon and there's a flood. It's called Flow. where me and my wife paid for it, and we loved it. It was beautifully.
What language is it in?
There's no language, Dave.
It's just
Dave. There's no language because
none at all.
Yeah, because we can't talk to dogs. I've got the most beautiful dog in the world.
So there's nothing being said throughout the whole movie. It's just a
nothing,
visual movie.
Not. It's totally visual, and it's done in AI typing.
I have a question for you. Did you cry at the end? Did you cry?
Absolutely. Absolutely, okay. Because I'm a creepy weepy baby. I can't help myself. I cry at a lot of things. I cried at Dave's song that he wrote for me. John Lewis.
Powder Sugar Dreams.
I cried at that because John Lewis died. So, and I never really knew him. I got a photo with him.
Rolo's favorite part.
My
favorite part was Rolo from just outside the rail yard. He'd say he cried.
See what I mean?
Voice lost.
Stop it. You're going to make me cry. You're going to make me cry again if you keep saying that. Oh, look, I liked Talk Back Radio. There were my favorites were John Laws and Stan Zemanek, and but there were other ones that spoke, excuse me, sense, there were, but they weren't the ones that I wanted to listen to. I always wanted to listen to Howard Stern, ones that would, fire you up.
Remember we spoke about 23 though earlier, speaking about, you talked about Howard Stern earlier, but we also talked about the idea of 23. Because I looked up that movie you offered to Linda, Flo, and I noticed that the soundtrack has 23 titles, and there's your 23, but the first is Home and the 23rd is Acceptance. And the Acceptance comes only after Reflection, which comes before Following. I find all that very interesting.
Sure.
So it's all in there, no matter whether it be. Yeah. It's quite interesting.
I just got a message from Rick. So let me just read this. I think you were 12 hours out of whack. So drunk to make any sense, probably. We'll do a Christmas show 5 p.m. tomorrow on Sunday. So he wants. It is Saturday night, isn't it?
It is. Friday on my end.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's Saturday the 20th of December here at
New South Wales.
Yeah, maybe Rick's blitzed out of his mind on fucking one of your super buds.
One of you two are on Dave. Cocaine, right?
There you go. See what I mean?
A sweet line of cocaine. That's the song.
A sweet line of cocaine.
Cocaine.
Can you play that song for us now, Dave? Again? With the Dolly Parton version.
I don't know that I have abilities to play anything.
Oh, maybe we'll go out with the Dolly Parton version of that song.
We'll have Jolo play it.
We will. I will. I'll send it to him, and I'll say we'll go with that. Oh, you guys are great. You guys cheer me up. Because I do suffer from depression.
Mm-hmm.
Not as badly as Rob Reiner's son did to kill his parents.
That's so dumb.
Oh, that
man.
Was funny.
That was too funny.
That's just crazy, wasn't it? Oh, I know.
Oh, man. So, yeah, he deals with Castle Rock. Let's go back before we take off. Rob Reiner, he's associated with Castle Rock, right?
Oh, Castle Rock Productions.
Yeah. Castle Rock Productions. I would say that they're quite interesting because they have, man, who are they? They're tied in with Warner Brothers. Amazon.
Yeah, there's a big thing going in now with Paramount or Netflix trying to buy Warner, isn't it?
Well, once you buy something, you can put it away. It's like once you own it, you can put it in the closet.
Yeah, I hear.
You know, so that yeah, and so he was involved. Mm. He was involved with the Rob. Well, one of his bigger movies as a child movie would have been the what year did that come out? 86. The Rob Reiner Stand By Me.
Oh, what a great movie!
Yeah, with Kiefer Sutherland. Who else? Mm. Corey Feldman was in that. River Phoenix. Will Wheaton was up in that joint.
We're walking on that railway track.
He was up in that. Mm. Yeah, he was up in that joint. That was a good one.
Oh, brilliant. My favorite movie of his was definitely Princess Bride, but Stand By Me was legendary. It really was good. Did he write that or did he just direct it?
Are you talking about the Stand By Me? Who wrote that? That would have been, no, I mean, some of you probably didn't hear of Bruce Evans. Probably you never heard of that person. Mm. But Rob Reiner directed it. So,
yeah, for sure.
You know who Bruce Evans did write, and it might be something that you haven't seen before. It's called Mr. Brooks with Kevin Costner, where he plays kind of another dual-minded type of individual.
Let me write that down. Mr. Brooks.
Yes. Yeah, Mr. Brooks. It's got Kevin Costner, Demi Moore. William Hurt's in that joke. That would have been 2007.
I like all three of those actors. I like
2007.
I like Demi Moore and I like Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah, I like all of them.
Oh, okay. But yeah, you mean William Hurt? Because Kiefer Sutherland was in the other movie.
Mr. Brooks.
Stand By Me.
Mr. Brooks.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. Do you remember Demi Moore did the, do you remember when she did the Seventh Sign? Have you ever seen The Seventh Sign with Demi Moore?
I remember that. I probably don't remember the details, but yeah, I remember. Oh,
you remember the movie The Seventh Sign?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen it, Rollo?
I haven't seen The Seventh Sign, but is it worth watching? Is it good? As good as Mr. Brooks?
It's
all right.
I watch both of them, but they're both equally as good, I would say.
Fuck me, I'm going to have to write all this down. Otherwise, I'll
send you a link. I'm writing something down now.
Yeah, put it into Rollo's Balcony or Mr. Brooks and Seventh Sign.
The Seventh Sign.
Well, the movie I really wanted to watch with her is The Substance or something.
With who?
With
Demi Moore. You mean The Substitute.
Oh, is it The Substitute? Is it?
I want to say it's The Substitute. Wasn't it the Substitute where
no, it was a substance where it de-aged her or something.
Oh, Substance? The Substance?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a liquid of some sort?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wanted to go to the cinema and watch. Because, but it's a horror movie, you know, it's got where she turns into a freak show type thing.
Huh.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Dave, but that's the truth. Send me those two movies. Otherwise I'll forget.
Yeah. The Substance. So it's some sort of liquid that she gets.
She gets a crazy drug to keep her young.
Oh, okay.
A potion to keep her young.
Oh.
And it's a brilliant movie. It's a horror movie where it works for a while, but it doesn't work for that long.
Have you seen it? Then you've seen it already.
No, I haven't.
Oh, so you kind of just saw the review of it?
That's right, mate.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really think that the Seventh Sign, it's pretty easy on the, it's not too graphic. It's kind of like a PG type movie.
Mr. Brooks is going to be
a little bit more of an R-rated type movie for you. So you might want to have Rosie with you when you watch that one, so she can keep an eye on it.
Okay. So then, Mr. Brooks. Yeah. I'll look forward to it. Mr. Brooks, I'll look forward to mostly.
Yeah, that's funny.
the seventh sign
goes into some interesting stuff, man. Very interesting stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks, Dave. Yeah,
so, you're very welcome. So I'll send that stuff to you, but I have to bounce. I have to run into Cotton.
All right, man.
The other five sides. I think this is a pretty good Rick and Rolo show without Rick.
So let's go out. Thank you, Linda, as well. Linda.
Yep, I'm here.
Yep. The Rick Rolo.
Well, we're gonna go out with Dave J's version. It's Dolly Parton's version of Sugar Powder Dream.
Yep.
Betty Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna go out with that.
Excellent. All right. So I meet you in the green room.
All right, man. I'll be there.
Be blessed, everybody.
I'll be there. All right, see you there.
See ya.
Rolo, Rick, Rosie, and old John are gonna like this one, I can tell you that. High energy, catchy, you'll be singing the hook. Rolo sits on the porch, Rosie by his side. Her ears perk up to the whispering tide. Rick rolls through with a mower and a grin, cutting grass, gum trees, sunlight sinking in. Say with pride, a voice lost now to the ebbing tide.